Thanks for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from Family Church. Now, if this ministry has touched your life or changed it in any way, we would love to hear your story. Please email it to us at changedlife@familychurch.tv. Now, don't forget to follow us on Twitter or Instagram, or go to Facebook and like our page. You can also head to YouTube and click that subscribe button. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope this message blesses you in some way.
If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to be reading verses 23 through 25 in just a few moments. But we are currently in a series that I'm calling Homeless. And we're talking about why you need a church family. How many of you were here last week for the first part of this teaching? And this is important because there are more homeless Christians than there are homeless people. In fact, 54% of people who say that they are Christians don't go to church anywhere. And so if you're here this morning and maybe you're not used to going to church, or maybe you're watching online today and you're not used to going to church, I'm not here to judge you, but I do want to give you some things to think about and show you some things in the scripture that I think are important and that I think will make a difference in your life, because we need a church family. We need a church family. It's important. Have you ever been in one of those situations where someone asks you a question about your faith that you couldn't answer? Has anyone ever been in one of those situations? I have. And I remember a few years ago, a woman approached me at a restaurant with her teenage daughter. And she said, "Pastor Larry, I want you to tell my daughter why she should go to church." Now, I don't remember what I said, but I do remember that it wasn't very convincing and it wasn't very good. And I left there that day thinking to myself, I never want to be in that position again. I never want to be in a situation where I don't have a good answer when someone asks me why they need to go to church. And so this morning, I hope to give you some of those answers in case someone might perhaps ask you that same question. I needed a better answer than "because I said so." And not only that, I want the teenagers of Family Church growing up knowing why they need to go to church. I want them growing up knowing why they need a spiritual family to connect to. I want them to know why they need to be here and why they need to do this thing called church. And so that's why we're taking all of this time in this homeless series. So let's go ahead and start with Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. And it says this: "Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching." And so I want to take just a few moments this morning and I want to focus on that first line. Because the first line of that verse says this. It says, "Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going." So what are the promises that keep us going? Don't you think that's good information to have? So to find out what the promises are that keep us going, we have to jump over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises." Now, let's stop right there. Here's what we know so far. We know that the promises that keep us going are great, and we know that they are precious, and we know that they come from God. Now, let's figure out what they are. Let's keep reading. "These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." So what the writer of Hebrews chapter 10 verses 23 through 25 was actually saying is this. He was saying, let's keep a firm grip on our divine nature and our ability to escape the world's corruption. How do we do that? By not avoiding worshiping together. Folks, the church is here to facilitate spiritual growth and to help keep you from falling back into old destructive patterns. Every year, my family and I usually end up in Florida on vacation. And we usually drive because it's cheaper than flying. And so somewhere in Alabama, I remember a few years ago, and this sign is still there, but we were driving through Alabama, and on the side of the road, there's this big billboard, and on the billboard, there's the picture of what we usually think of when we think about the devil. There's a being, and he's wearing a red suit, and he's got a pitchfork, and he's got a tail, and he's got horns, and he's standing there on this sign, and the sign says, "Go to church or the devil will get you." Has anyone seen that sign? Okay, there's a few of you. I see some hands lifted there. And so we're driving by this sign, and I read it, and I turn to Karen, and I said, "That is the stupidest thing I have ever seen in my entire life." You don't go to church to keep the devil from getting you. You go to church to learn how to not get yourself. Amen. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And so if someone needs to be worried about being got, the devil needs to be worried about you getting him. I've been in ministry for almost 30 years. The devil has never got me, but I have gotten myself more than once. So we're not here to keep the devil from getting us. What did those two scriptures say when you put those two scriptures together? Those two scriptures teach us that we come to church for great and precious promises, and those promises are to help us keep a firm grip on our divine nature and to help us escape the corruption of the world, and we do that by not avoiding worshiping together. Does that make sense? And so we're here this morning to build ourselves up and to prepare ourselves for a life that God has planned for us. So let me remind you of where we've been in this series, and then we're going to jump into some new information. So there are three things that we talked about last week. Anybody want to go tear that billboard down? It's a free trip to Florida. Where have we been in this series? Three things last Sunday. First, according to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, Jesus usually went to church, and so should you. Number two, if Jesus could not fulfill his destiny without the church, then neither can you. And then number three, Satan is opposed to you belonging to a spiritual family and is actively working to keep you from being connected to one. Those were where we were last week. Now, we're going to move on today into some other things. One of the things that you probably don't know about me, and you will get to know a lot about me over the next few weeks and months and years. Like today, I'm wearing a pair of great socks. These are my Make America Great Again socks. See these? And Matt and Debbie Carter went to Las Vegas, and all they brought me were these stupid socks. But I'm happy to have them. One of the things that you probably don't know about me is that God often speaks to me using images instead of words. And I think God does that because I'm dyslexic. I'm terribly dyslexic. And sometimes I even write my name out of order. That's how bad it is some days. But it doesn't look that way to me on paper. It looks right on paper. But if you were looking at it, you would think that I don't even know how to spell my name. And so God speaks to me many times using images instead of words. And so back in August, I was mowing my yard and I was praying about this series. I didn't know that I was going to be teaching this here at Family Church at the time, but I was praying about this series because I knew that it was in my heart and that I would be teaching it soon. And I remember that day I asked God to show me how people see the church. And I wasn't prepared for the picture that popped into my head. When describing their church, most people don't say, I go to family church, but I hate it. I hate the music. I hate the pastor. I hate his stupid socks. I hate the ministries. I go there, but I pretty much hate everything about it. People don't do that. But here's what we do. How many of you have ever been to a Cold Stone Creamery? Some of you have no idea what that even is. But they have these in Springfield, Branson, all around. Cold Stone Creamery is like a gourmet ice cream place. So they have custard there. And custard is just ice cream made with heavy whipping cream. So it's more fattening than regular ice cream. But it tastes better. Can we all agree that it tastes better? And they have all these toppings there. So you can get all these flavors of custard. You can get brownies and you can get just everything. Anything that you can imagine, you can get in your ice cream. And I usually get banana caramel crunch. Have you had that? So good. Or I get coffee lovers. So good. And so we go to Cold Stone Creamery quite often, as you probably gathered by now. And when you get in line there, there's a display on the countertop with all the sizes. And so the day that I was praying about this series and asking God how people see church, I saw that display in my mind. You can go ahead and put that up there. So I'm mowing the yard, and I'm praying, and God starts talking to me about ice cream. And so those of you that have been there, you know that you walk in and when you're in line, you see this sign. There are three different flavors. I like it. I love it. And I got to have it. And we're going to add one more to that this morning. But I saw that image in my mind and I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say to me, this is how people see the church. So what does Cold Stone Creamery teach us about church? Well, here's what we say about our church. Here's what a lot of people do. You know, when you ask them, hey, where do you go to church? They say, well, you know, I go to family church and I like it. I go 5 or 6 times a year, whether I need it or not. These people aren't full, but at least they feel like they've had something. Who orders the big cup, by the way? Because those are my people. Okay. If you get this, just pretend you're not with me. Yes. But this is the way some people see their church. Where do you go? Oh, I go to family church. How is it? Oh, I like it. I like it. I go at least 5 or 6 times a year. I like it. And then there are other people that, you know, so they like it. And there are other people that you ask them, you know, about their church. Where do you go to church? They say, I go to family church. Well, how is it? And they say, I love it. I go when I don't have anything else to do on Sunday. But I love it. I love the music. I love the ministries. I love the teaching. I love it. But my sporadic attendance doesn't really allow me to serve anywhere. I'm not really doing anything. But I love it. I love going. And these people, you know, they have a little more. But they love it. And then there are those that you ask about their church, and they say, where do you go to church? I go to family church. Well, what do you think about family church? I gotta have it. Anybody get this one? Who all gets this one? The big one. Okay, Alex, I see your hand back there. I gotta have it. The church is a part of my life. In my house, we don't ask if we're going to church today because we always go. We got to have it. We got to have the worship. We got to have the teaching. We got to have the fellowship. We got to have the feeling of belonging. We are connected and we are contributing because we just got to have it. And I hope that there are a lot of got to have it's here this morning. But there's even a step above that. And this one's not on the sign when you go into Cold Stone Creamery. And so if you see it on the sign later, they stole this from me. Okay? So there's some people who's like, hey, I go to church. I like it. I like my church. It's enough. This is enough for me. All I need fits in here. And other people, they love it. And then there are some people that they got to have it. But I want to add one more to the list today. And there are some people who not only like it, not only love it, not only got to have it, but there are some people who got to share it. Some of you are like, this is the weirdest church I've ever been to in my whole life. They got to share it. Not only do you got to have it, you want others to have it too. Because you realize that there's too much in here for you to keep. And to hoard what you have would be unfair to those that are around you. And so not only do you like it, not only do you love it, not only do you got to have it, but you got to share it. You got to share it with the people around you. Now, I want to ask you a question. Of all of these containers, which of these containers is God able to pour the most of himself into? This one, right? There's more room. You see the difference? See? You can fit all three into this one. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to just pour himself into you. And so if nothing else, this morning, I pray that your container gets bigger. And you know what? I'm going to pray a prayer over you, and you're going to hate me later, but I'm going to pray it now. So, Lord, I pray right now today. Lord, I pray for the people that are in this room. I pray for the people that are watching online. Lord, from this day forward, for the rest of their life, they're never going to be able to eat ice cream without thinking about how much they need a church family. Lord, from this day forward, they're teenagers sitting in this room, and 20 years from now, they're not going to be able to need an ice cream without thinking, I need a spiritual family. I need a place to contribute. I need a place to connect. I need a place to belong. Lord, we are never going to be able to look at a cup of ice cream the same way after we leave this place today. Lord, I declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, you're welcome. There are four things about the church that I want to share with you over the next two Sundays. And I'll just go ahead and give those to you this morning, and then we're going to talk about one of them. There are four things I want you to know. Number one, the church is a place to go. The church is a place to grow. The church is a place to sow. And my favorite, the church is a place to bro. That's about building relationships. So we go here, we grow here, we sow here, and we bro here. Because that's the way God designed it. Remember, we're talking about why you need a church family. So let's talk about the first one this morning. The church is a place to go. Why is the church a place to go? The church is the place to go if you want to learn to center your life around God. If you want to learn to center your life around God. You go to the doctor when you're sick. You go to the trainer to get in shape. And you go to the church if you want to learn to center your life around God. Why? Because a life centered around God is called worship. God did not put you on the earth to be self-centered. He put you here so that he could be your center. And so one of the primary functions of the church is to help you center your life around God. Why? Here's why. Self-centered people are rarely happy. Because in order for them to be happy, the conditions have to be right. But a God-centered life isn't dependent upon conditions. And so when God becomes the center of your life, then life becomes easier for you. And as we go through this series, you're going to find out how that you exist for God and not vice versa. How that God wants to be the center of your attention. And I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here. And I'm going to say that without the church as your go-to, the chances of you keeping God at the center of your life are going to be slim to none. I'm just going to be honest. So if the church isn't your go-to place, the chances of you keeping God as your center probably aren't very good. A few years ago, Starbucks had a campaign called Second Place. And the premise was this. They wanted home to be the first place for their customers and Starbucks to be the second place. And something incredible happened. It worked. They created these coffee shop communities where people were spending the majority of their free time. And so home was their first place, Starbucks became their second place. And it worked because God wired us for community. And when we don't find community in the church, we will find it somewhere else. And the problem with that is this. If we don't find community in the church, typically we find community in places that aren't helping us in our relationship with God. And so God wired you to be a part of a community. Does anyone remember the old television show Cheers? You have to be over 35. Or you have to have TV Land on your cable package. But I'm old enough, I'm 45, and I can remember the old television show Cheers. And I was thinking about the theme song to Cheers when I was putting this message together. And so I just printed off the lyrics, and I want to read the lyrics to you this morning. It says, "Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot." Sounds like they're talking about church. "Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came." Sounds a little bit like church, except I don't know all your names yet. But I'm working on it. "You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name." I don't know why that song just popped in my head. And that song was written about a bar. But you know what? Norm didn't need a bar. He needed a spiritual family. He didn't need a place to escape to. He needed a place that would equip him and empower him to move forward in his life. But when you don't find community in the church, you will find community. Because God wired you that way. God wired you for family. God wired you for community. God wired you that way. People congregate where they find community because that's the way God made us. And the church is the community God designed to help you discover your purpose, destiny, and dreams. The church is the only place on the earth that you can achieve your maximum potential. That's it. So whatever you want to be, whatever you want to do, whatever your dream is, you can only find that when you're connected to the church. And that is not a word from Larry, that's a word from the Lord. So let's go ahead and talk about why. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says this. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now we read that verse and we know that we're supposed to put God's kingdom first, and we know that we're supposed to seek God first, but I think we forget about the last part of that verse. Jesus said, "All these things will be added to you." What's he talking about? Well, let's make a list based upon Matthew chapter 6. When Jesus said, if you put God first and you put God's kingdom first, then all these things are going to be added to your life. What in the world was Jesus talking about? Well, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, Jesus said, you'll do the right things for the right reasons. The church can help with that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus said, you'll pray God's agenda. And the church can what? Help with that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, Jesus said, relationships will make you or break you. And the church can what? Help with that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Jesus said, don't sweat the small stuff. The church can. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, Jesus said, judge yourself before you judge others. The church can. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus said, if you need something, ask. If you have something, give. The church can. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus said, stay true to your convictions and don't wander from the narrow path. The church can. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, obedience to God is the only sure foundation for life. The church can help with that. So whatever it is that you're going through, the church was designed to be your go-to place by teaching you how to put God first and keep God first. So it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you're trying to figure out what you're called to do, or if you're just trying to figure out how to not fall back into an addiction. No matter what it is that you're trying to figure out about your life, God created these spiritual families called the church to help you with that. And how many of you know that's good news? Because I know some of you, and you need all the help you can get. And so do I. I need all the help I can get. The church is here to help me. The church is here to help you with whatever it is that you've got going on. God designed the church to be your go-to place. Okay? Let's look a little bit deeper at this. When did things fall apart for Adam and Eve? I think we can safely say it's when God stopped being the center of their lives. When God stopped being the center of their lives. And here's what most people don't get. Putting God at the center of your life is not for God's benefit. It's for yours. God is God. He is unchanging. He's always going to be God. He's never going to change. Who he was is who he is and who he will always be. But you, on the other hand, are going from glory to glory to glory to glory. You are constantly changing. And you should be changing to become better. And so by putting God at the center of your life, that's only going to help you with that. So putting God at the center of your life is not for him, it's for you. It's for you. It's for your benefit. It's for your good. It's yours. And so one of the primary reasons you need a church family is to teach you who God is, or maybe even once in a while remind you of what God says. So that you can understand some things about yourself, you can understand about some things about what you're going through, and you can understand some things about God and how he is there with you the entire time. Now, here's the problem. Some people like to conjure up their idea of who they think God is and then worship that. And occasionally, I'll hear someone say, I like to think of God as. But when it comes to who God is, you don't get to have an opinion. Remember the story where the children of Israel are down at the base of the mountain and Moses has been up on the mountain for 40 days and they don't know where he's at. He's their pastor and he's been on vacation for 40 days, they think. And so they're down at the base of the mountain and all of a sudden they take off all of their earrings and all their gold and all of the, you know, and they put it in the the furnace and they fashion it into a golden calf. Has anyone ever read that story? I love how it ends because Pastor Moses comes down off the mountain and he comes up to the people and he's like, "What in the world is going on?" And they're like, "Well, you know, we just put this gold in the fire and this is what came out." They had fashioned a god of their own design. And then when their pastor questioned them about it, they got mad and said, "Well, this is just what came out. We've been doing this for centuries. We decide who God is, create him in our own image, and then we worship that." The church is here to help you understand who God is so that you can worship him as he is, not who your mind sometimes conjures him to be. And I love how that story ends because Moses says, "Give me the idol." He grinds it up, puts it in water, and makes them all drink it. He was a tough pastor. So the church is here to help you figure out who God is, so that you'll know how to worship him, so that you'll know what his expectations of your life are. So the first purpose of your life is to accurately worship God. And having the right spiritual family to help guide you will make that possible. It will help you, having the right spiritual family will help you move away from a self-centered life into a God-centered life. Because that's where you're going to find the best place, is in a God-centered life. All right, I want to close with this. One last verse, 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 2. Second Kings chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years Jehoiada the priest instructed him." Joash is an Old Testament king who doesn't get a lot of press, but he's a perfect example of what we're talking about today. When his go-to place was right, his life was right. As long as Joash had a pastor in his life instructing him, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But after his pastor Jehoiada died, Joash turned away from the Lord. And you can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 17. And we're not going to take the time to read that this morning. But the point of the story being this. As long as he was connected, as long as he was plugged in, as long as he had a spiritual family around him, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And the second he became disconnected from that, he turned away from the Lord. Listen, you need this place. This is not just a place where you show up on Sunday morning because you have friends or family here. That's awesome that that's part of what we do, but you need this place to help you keep your life centered around God. Because we all, I think, you know, in the back of our minds, we all sometimes think that we're always going to do the right thing. We're never going to turn our backs on the Lord. We're never going to make destructive choices that really we would have a hard time coming back from. And I think that we forget that we do live in flesh. And because we live in flesh, we need to be plugged into a place regularly and usually that helps us walk in victory over those things that our flesh would try to drag us into. Or maybe I'm just the only one. No. I need a place. I need a place. And you need a place. And the church is that go-to place that God designed for us so that we could be reminded of who he is and what he expects of us. We're going to go ahead and stop right there. Let's stand. Let's stand. The musicians are coming back. I think the prayer team can go ahead and come. I just want to, before we pray, I want to put these out here one more time. And again, there's no judgment. There's no condemnation this morning. I just want to give you some things to think about. And so when it comes to family church, because that's your church, this is your church family. When it comes to family church, you can like it, you can love it, you can gotta have it, you can gotta share it. And whichever one of these you are really determines how much room you have in your life for God. And some people, this is all the room they have in their life for God. He's a part of their life, but not really. I mean, if things go wrong, they might pray. They're going to come to church, like I said, 5 or 6 times a year. But really, this is all the room they have in their life for God. And then you go to the other end of the spectrum, and you have people who have all of the space. All of the space for God in their lives. They just want all that they can get. And I realize everybody starts in different places, and you may be here, you may be here, you may be here, but the ultimate goal this morning is to move you to here. So no condemnation. I just want you to kind of think about where you are in your relationship with God. And let's pray about that first. Lord, this morning we come before you and Lord, I get it. I know that we're all in different places. And there are people here that I know that they haven't been Christians for very long. There are people here who haven't even been in the church for a month. And there are others of us here this morning, we've been doing this our entire lives. We've been in this our entire lives. Maybe we grew up in church and we've been a part of church. We can't remember ever not being a part of the church. So we're kind of all in different places. But Lord, what we all need is hunger and desire, Lord, for everything that you have for us. And the church is here to help facilitate that. The church is here to help us with that. The church is here to help us center our lives around you, to get us to that place where we got to share it. And so I pray today that no matter where your people are, no matter where they are in the journey, Lord, that you would just move them forward. God, move them ahead. Move them to the next place. And that we could realize that being a part of a spiritual family is crucial. It's just like Peter said in 2 Peter, the promise is to help us keep a firm grip on our divine nature and to help us not drift back into destructive patterns. And so, Lord, we pray for that help today in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.